Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to our Daf, we will be beginning today's shiur from the very bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis. We left off last time in the middle of a discussion. We were trying to find a Stam Mishnah on which Rabbi Yochanan would base his opinion that Lav She'ein Boi Maisa, one who violates a negative precept in a passive fashion, there are no Malkus, Ein Loikin Alav. We attempted to cite a source dealing with leaving over a Korban Pesach Tohar, where the source said Eino Loke Esvar Boim, but we decided that that source may very well be Shitas Rabbi Yehuda as opposed to Rabbi Yaakov, who holds that there are no Malkus for the Mosir B'Tohar because of it being a Lav Hanitak La'aseh, namely a positive command is written following the negative command in the Torah, thereby telling us that instead of giving the standard punishment of Malkus for negative commands, in such a case where there's a positive command follows, the solution, so to speak, is by fulfilling the Asay. The Gemara picks up from the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, Elo Hai Stamo Ashkach. Notice we have a triangle. This was already started in the previous shiur, our attempt to present a back and forth structure, a keep track structure. This was featured in our Mivneh heading in the outside margin last time. So we're attempting now to find the Stam Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah being an authoritative source on which Rabbi Yochanan would base his opinion that Lav Shein Bo Maisa Ein Lokin Olof. So let's see what the source says. As you can see, the source is framed off, as are all Tanaic sources, in our marking system. We also provide on the left-hand side of the Gemara text, between the Gemara and the Rashi, you'll notice a triangle with a vertical dashed line. This continues to the top of Dalet Amud Aleph. This indicates the length of this attempt to show the Stam on which is based Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So the source says, Shavua Shelo Ochal Kikar Zu. Shavua Shelo Ochlena. A person swears a double oath that he will not eat a particular loaf, the Ochla, and he goes ahead and eats it. Eino Chayov Elo Achas. He is in violation of only one oath. Rashi explains that once he took the first oath, the loaf became usher to him. When he takes the second oath, he is already bound, so to speak, and he is considered nishba lekayimas a mitzvah, Rashi says. He is swearing to fulfill a mitzvah, and in the event that he doesn't eat it, where he thereby is not mekayim the mitzvah, the Mishnah later on in the Masechet says that nishba lekayimas a mitzvah lo kein potur from shvus hakorban. Mishuas Korban. So let's continue in the source. The source says, Zuhi, and we've dashed underlined this expression, this is going to be the main point. Zuhi Shuas Bitui She Chayoven Al Zdoina Makos Val Shigigosa Korban Oilaviore. This is an example of a voluntary Shavua, whereby if he does violate it knowingly, he gets lashed. And if he mistakenly violates it, he brings a fluctuating priced korban chatos. That's a korban oyla v'yoreid. We continue with our inference, with the Gemara now making an inference. Zuhi dechayoven al zdona makos. the example cited in this source, which was a future type shvuah, he swore that he will not eat the kikar, and if he eventually does eat it, so he's chayev. We're saying that this is an example of a shvuah that there will be malchus upon the violation b'mezid, avol. But we would contrast this case with ochal. A person swears to eat something, also a future related shvuah, the lo ochal, lo loki. If he swears to eat something and then does not eat it, he would not get malchus. Once again, in the source, we emphasize this is the case, this example featured in the source, this is the case that there will be malchus, to the exclusion of another case where he swore he will eat something and then he violates it by not eating. That's a passive violation. The inference would be lo lucky. He does not get malchus. He doesn't get lashed. And it would be based on this, being that it's a passive violation, it's a lav she'ein bo ma'isa, he's violating the negative precept of not to violate a shvua by simply sitting and not eating. So we said he doesn't get malchus, and this would be the stam source, the unnamed and hence authoritative source, that Rabbi Yochanan would base his opinion, lav she'ein bo ma'isa im lo ken alav. The Gemara now asks, michti, hai stamo v'hai stamo. We have stam sources, this last source indicating no malchus, and we had seen our Mishnah, which was a stam source, which indicated that a lav she ein bo maisa would yes get malchus. Two stam sources. My chazi de ovid kihai stamo. What does one see fit? What does Rabbi Yochanan see to follow the stam that says ein lokin levid ki hai stamo? Let him follow the stam source, namely our Mishnah, that would have suggested that he does get malchus. V'letameich, according to you who are asking on Rabbi Yochanan's choice, I have a question back to you. Rebbe Gufei, Rebbe himself, who edited the Mishnayos, who will say he compiled the Mishnayos, Rebbe himself, Rebbe Gufei, Hechi sasam lon hocha hochi v'hocha hochi. How could it be that on one occasion he paskins that there would be malchus, and on another occasion he paskins there's no malchus under the same circumstances, namely lav shein bo maisa? Ella meikora savar. So as to explain Rebbe's behavior, so to speak, we'll say as follows. Originally, when he first learned, when he first prepared this, the Mishnayos, or in his early stages of learning, he held lav shein bo maisa loiken olav, that a passive violation of a negative precept does warrant malchus, lashing as a punishment. V'sosma, and concluded thusly, and recorded a Mishnah thusly. V'hoder sover, but later in his learning, he held ein loken olav v'sosma, and stated an unnamed Mishnah like that. U'mishnah lo zozo mimakoma, but the original Mishnah that had already been popularized and memorized didn't leave its position and remained in the corpus of Mishnayos. Now Rashi adds the important point here, and we'll notice the Rashi on the first narrow line. Elomei kora savarlo hilchoch Rabbi Yochanan svirolei kistamo basra. Rabbi Yochanan, who paskins that lav shein bo maisa ein lokan alav, basing himself on a stam mishnah, he holds like the later stam mishnah, the hodar be Rebbe mikomaisa. The fact being that Rebbe reversed his position from his earlier stance. At this point, you can see in the markings that the bracketed section closes. We gave the required introduction in our previous shiur to the role of these brackets, but for a quick review, before these brackets, in the upper part of Gimel Amud Beis, we were dealing with who is the author of our Mishnah. We then established at that point in the Gemara that the Mishnah was according to Rabbi Shmuel, and the Mishnah that says Shnayim Shein Arba, uh, we explained that Shnayim Shen Arba, even though Rabbi Shmuel holds that there's no Chiyuv Korban with regard to violations of past tense Shavuos, nevertheless, there will be Malkos. Malkos, one would be Chayev. So hence there would be Shnayim, two future, Shein Arba, two examples of past tense Shavuos that would warrant Malkos. At this point, the Gemara recaps that which was said before the brackets. B'mayu kimto, how did we set up our Mishnah that said Shnayim Shein Arba, K'Rabbi Shmuel Ula Malkos? We said it's authored by Rabbi Shmuel, and the four is with regard to Malkos, as opposed to Korbonos, as opposed to the obligation for bringing a korban when one violates the shvua unwittingly. That applies only in the case of future tense shvuas. With that in mind, we continue with the other examples that were cited in the Mishnah of Shnayim Shein Arba. We see a new geometric form, the volcano form or trapezoid form. That is another one of our series markings. You can see on the outside margin we offer an explanation, the nosei mivneh, the topic heading and structural note accompanying this section of Gemara. We notice the trapezoid form featured havlotas hadugmos b'mishnaseinu. We are accentuating the example cited in the Mishnah, additional examples. Acharei shehemadu mishnaseinu be'inyin shvuos, after we established our Mishnah with regard to the issue of the oaths, k'Rabbi Shmuel inyin malkos, we said this is the Mishnah conforms to Rabbi Shmuel, and it is shnayim shein arba with regard to the penalty of lashing, that there are four possibilities of giving lashings. After having done all of that, hagemora mevareres Efo motzinu malkos b'shar hadugmos shemuvos b'mishnah. Where do we find in the other examples, or the other topics cited in the Mishnah, namely Maras Negoyim and Yitzhiya Shabbos, where do we find malkos with regard to those issues? And as we've said in the past, Mishnayos are generally set up in a consistent fashion or with a degree of uniformity. So if the example of Shavuos is being explained with regard to Malkos, we would expect Malkos, the penalty of lashings, to be appropriate with regard to the issue of the skin discoloration, namely the Negoyim, and with regard to transfer of items from domain on Shabbos. So let's continue in the Gemara. Marois Negoyim, my Malkos Ika. What Malkos is Shayach to the realm of Maros Negoyim? The Gemara is working on a certain premise here that, generally speaking, the issue of Maros Negoyim is an issue of Tumah and Tara, and the violations that one experiences in this realm would be consuming a korban in a state of tumah, or going into the Beis Hamikdash in this state of tumah. Where do we find malkos? So the Gemara answers, the koitzes baharto, in the case that he cuts off a section of the skin that has experienced this discoloration, he cuts off his baheres, his nega, ucha Rabbi Ovin Amar Rabbi Ullah, and based on Rabbi Ovin Amar Rabbi Ullah's teaching with regard to the terminology found in the Torah psukim, the Amar Rabbi Ovin Amar Rabbi Ullah, komokom shenemar he shomer pen va'al, eino elo loy saaseh, where you find these terms used in conjunction with psukim, they indicate a negative precept. Even though the pasuk doesn't say outright lo siktzos habaheretz, don't cut off the baheretz, if it uses a word, one of these words, that would be tantamount to saying don't do it. On the side, inside margin, we've included the relevant pasuk, he shomer benega tzoras, Benega Hatzoras, Lishmor Me'oid Velasois. That Hishomer word, as we just saw in the Gemara, indicates a los ases. One who cuts off the Baharis from his flesh would be guilty of this negative command, and as a result would also be guilty of Malkos. So Malkos is something that is Shayach to the realm of Maros Negoyim. Yetzias Shabbos, my Malkos Ika. What Malkos is Shayach to the realm of Shabbos? There's a problem. Lav Shenitan Las Horas Misas Bezenhu. Shabbos is a negative command. It's a lav. that is given over to the realm of Mises Bezin, namely the penalty that accompanies Shabbos violation is Mises Bezin, death at the hands of the court. The chol lav shenitan lasoros Mises Bezin ain lokin olav. And we know as a rule, or a generally accepted rule, that those kinds of negative commands that carry with them a death penalty, there is no malchus for such violations. So being that Yitzias HaShabbos, transferring of objects from public domain to private domain or vice versa on Shabbos, is a violation of Maleches Shabbos, and it carries with it a death penalty, there should be no malchus for it. The Gemara answers, Mishum hachi, it's because of this consideration, Kamukmino k'Rabbi Shmuel, that we set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Yishmuel, because he has a unique position. The Amar Lav Shinita on the Soros Mises based in Lokin Olav, that in fact, even though Shabbos carries with it a death penalty, there is a potential for receiving malchus. In other words, if a person is about to violate a Shabbos prohibition, and he is warned that by violating it he will get malchus, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we will give the offender malchus. So with that in mind, we can at this point effectively explain the Mishnah Shnayim Shein Arba with regard to Shavuos and Yediyah Satuma, Maris Negoyim, Yitzias Shabbos, all with respect to the penalty of Malchus. So we might say that it's as a result of this consideration, we opted to set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara now asks, that implies that if not for this consideration, the issue of Lav Shenita and Lazarus Misa's Basin, we would have been able to set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva. Well, is that really so? So the Gemara asks, Ho Lav Hochi Kaimo Rabbi Akiva? If not for this consideration of Lav Shenita and Lazarus Misa's Basin, would we have been able to set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva? Kashia Yedios. But what about the issue of Yediyah Satuma? According to Rabbi Akiva, there's no chiyuv on Hela Mikdash. And in order to set up our mission of Shnayim Shein Arba, we had to say that not only for Helam Tuma is there chiyuv, but also for Helam Kodesh Mikdash. But Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that way. So the Gemara says, we really could have set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva, based on the following: Lav Amris Rabbi Shmuel hi Ulamakos. Did we not say in the final analysis that our Mishnah was like Rabbi Shmuel, and it is so with regard to Malkos? Rabbi Akiva nami Ulamakos. If not for the issue of Lav Shenita and Lazarus Mises based in, we would have yes been able to set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva, and with regard to Malkos. Namely, the issue of Hela Mikdash, true, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no chiyuv to bring a korban, but it would carry with it a Malkos penalty. Ihachi. If so, if our Mishnah is to be explained as the Shnayim Shein Arba is a reference to four situations where there could be meted out Malkos, the Lashon of the Mishnah needs to be reappraised. Yediyos. Our Mishnah mentioned Yediyos HaTumah. Hasros Miboyalei. The more appropriate Lashon would have been, more appropriate language would have been Hasros. Hasros indicates a warning that before one can give a Malkos punishment, there must be a Hasra. The witnesses must warn the offender, impending offender, to cease, otherwise he will receive Malkos. So the Gemara says, Holo Kashi, as far as the linguistic consideration is concerned, that does not pose a difficulty. To me, Yedios Dehasros. The fact that the Mishnah used the term Yedios Satuma, it really meant awareness. Yedio means awareness of the warning. So that the Mishnah could in fact be a Malkos oriented Mishnah. Ihachi, more questions, though. We've marked the next few lines with a long question marking. We'll have a series of three questions. We've numbered them off. And we're going to point out, still, there is a difficulty with this entire setup of the Mishnah talking about Malkus. I hachi shtayim shehein arba. Tarti hu dehavyon. Let's glance at Rashi. The end of the narrow lines, Tarti hu dehavyon. The ein Malkos Eliim Kain hizkiru es hatuma vihakidish, oi es hatuma vihamikdosh. In order to give the offender Malkus with regard to the Tumah in the context of the Beis HaMikdash or the consumption of Korbanos, you have to mention to the offender both elements, Tumah. In other words, you have to tell him, you know, you are Tomei and you are about to eat a Korban, or you are Tomei and you are about to enter the Beis HaMikdash, and if you do, you will get Malkus. So that in the warning, you actually have to mention both points, the Tumah and the Kodesh, or the Tumah and the Mikdash. And as Rashi goes on to say, on the second wide line, Vitarti hu the Ika. There are only two things then, Malkus l'Kodesh, u Malkus l'Mikdash. The Bishlama l'Korban, if the Mishnah was talking about a Korban Ika Arba, there would be four scenarios, four cases, four possibilities of the offender bringing a Korban. Helem Tumov Yachal Kodesh v'zochu hu lo. He forgot that he was Tomei and then ate a Korban and then remembered his Tumah. Or Helam Tumah Ubala Mikdash V'zachu Hulo. Or Helam Kodesh, or a case where he forgot that it was a Korban V'ochlo. Or Helam Mikdash V'nichnas Lo V'zachu Hu Es HaTumah. So you have these four possibilities. One, as you see them numbered off in the Rashi, where he forgot the Tumah, he knew it was a Korban, and then he became aware again of the Tumah. And the same thing with regard to the Beis HaMikdash, and the same thing with regard to the Korban and the Mikdash. Continuing in the Gemara, Vesu, Es Shiyesh Bo Yediya B'Tchilo V'Yediya B'Sof V'Helem Bein Tayim. That was also in the Mishnah. Ha'aloma L'Malkos Mai Yivit Avitate. The word helem, helem means a state of unawareness. What does unawareness have to do with Malkus? Malkus is characteristic only of a situation where a person is fully aware of all the details. The su, we also saw hare ze ba'ole v'yored. We also saw that in the Mishnah. Ole v'yored is a reference to a fluctuating price korban. But we're setting up the Mishnah with regard to Malkos. That's a mazed situation. That's a premeditated situation that has nothing to do, or would actually be exclusionary of a Korban. A Korban is brought only as a result of an unintentional act. With all of this, the approach that we took initially, that started at the upper part of Gimel Amud Beis, that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shmuel, and the Shnayim Shein Arba is a reference to Malkos, it is actually a difficult approach. Elo Omer of Yosef, Rebbe He. According to this new approach, Roman numeral number 2, the Mishnah is authored by Rebbe Venosiv Lo Alibo de Tanoit. We have indicated a little aleph with a diamond in between the lines. As we will see shortly, there are two approaches to Rav Yosef. In fact, before we go on in the reading of the Gemara, let's glance at the side. The Nosei, the topic heading, Rav Yosef Ma'amid HaMishnah Aliba de Rebbe. Rav Yosef sets up the Mishnah according to the Tana Rebbe. Mivneh, we have a structural note. We have an aleph, and a beis will appear a few lines later, also between the lines. The note says, Shnei Deos B'divrei Rav Yosef. Two approaches to Shitas Rav Yosef. Aleph, the first, Ein Mishnasenu Da'aito Ho'ishis Shel Rebbe. The Mishnah is not a personal opinion of Rebbe, Elo. But rather, Rebbe is synthesizing or culling two opinions of Tanoim and fusing them to create a Mishnah. Bayes, second approach, Mishnah Seinu Hidaito Sherebbe, the Mishnah reflects Rebbe's own opinion. Ubishvus, with regard to oaths, Rebbe Sover Krebbe Kiva L'chayev Gam L'sha'ovar. He will adopt Rebbe Akiva's approach as opposed to Rebbe Shmuel to say that there is a korban for violation of past tense shvuas. ubiyidiyas hatuma sover k'Rabbi Shmuel l'chayev gam al helem mikdash. And with regard to the issue of tuma and the forgetting of tuma, he says he'll take Rabbi Yishmael's opinion and hold that there is culpability with regard to forgetting about the Beis HaMikdash as well. So we now turn to the Gemara. Elo Amar Rav Yosef, Rebbi hi v'nosiv lo aliba d'tanoi. It's Rebbi who is presenting the Mishnah, and he is presenting two Tanaic opinions on two different topics. Yedios, with regard to Yedios HaTumah and the issue of the Mikdash, Nosiv Lo K'Rabbi Yishmael. He presents Rabbi Yishmael's Shita that holds that there is a Chiyuv that includes a Chiyuv on Helem Mikdash as well as Helem Tumah. B'Shvuas Nosiv Lo K'Rabbi Akiva. And the section of the Mishnah dealing with Shvuas, he is presenting Shita's Rabbi Akiva that holds that there is a Chiyuv Korban with regard to the past as well. By the way, we may have mentioned it in passing, but let's emphasize the point. This approach, this Roman numeral number 2 approach of Rav Yosef, is saying that the Mishnah that says Shnayim Shein Arba is a reference to Korbonus, 4 possibilities of, or 4 scenarios whereby one would be Chayav a Korban, where of course the violation is unintentional. This is all in an opposition to the Roman numeral number 1 approach, where we set up the Mishnah Shnayim Shein Arba with regard to Malkos. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, Amriso l'shmaitzi kamei d'Rav Kahana. I said over this teaching that, namely that of Rav Yosef, that that Rebbe presents the Mishnah fusing together 2 separate shitas of Tanoim. The Omar Li and Rav Kahana told me, Lo Tema, don't say Rebbe Nosiv Lo Aliba Tanoim Velelo Svirole. Don't suggest that Rebbe presented 2 separate shitas Tanoim, but he himself does not accept them on his own. Elo Rebbe Taime Denafshe Meforesh. Rather, it'd be more accurate to say that the Mishnah that's presented is Shitas Rebbe himself, namely, that in the realm of Yedias HaTumah, he, Rebbe, holds like Rebbe Yishmael, and in the realm of Shuas, Rebbe himself holds like Rebbe Akiva. At this point in the Gemara proceeds to prove that this, in fact, that thusly holds Rebbe with regard to Yedias HaTumah and Shavuos. What we've done with the markings is we've used a bow tie marking and also indicated to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a lettering system, Aleph, you see over here, and on Omid Beis, about 6 lines from the top, more accurately, 5 lines from the top, a little Beis in a bow tie form. Tesanya. The first source deals with Yedias HaTumah, and in this source at the bottom line we've already dashed underlined Rebbe's name. We will see that Rebbe, with regard to Yedias HaTumah, holds that on He'elam Mikdash there is also a Chiyuv Korban. The source begins, Minayin She'eno Chayov Elo Al Shiesh Bo Yedia B'tchilo V'Yedia B'soif He'elam Meitayim. From where do we know, by way of Psukim, that the Chiyuv Korban comes about if a person originally was aware of his Tumah, forgot in the interim, and then went into the Beis HaMikdash or ate a Korban, and then recalled his Tumah? Talmud Lomar, V'ne'elam, V'ne'elam, Shnei Pa'omim, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. From this double expression, from the double use of the word V'ne'elam in the Psukim, Rabbi Akiva comes to that conclusion. Rabbi Omer, Eino Tzorech. Rebbe says you don't need that approach. Harehu Omer v'ne'elam. From the fact that the Torah uses the word v'ne'elam, that itself shows me michlal diyoda. V'hu yoda. The pasuk also says v'hu yoda. Harei kan shte yedios. From the implication of the word v'ne'elam, that indicated there was a yedia, and v'hu yoda indicates a second yedia. So from this you see the yedia beforehand and a yedia afterwards. Im kein ma tamad lomar v'ne'elam v'ne'elam. So what does Rebbe see from the double use of the word v'ne'elam in the psukim? L'chayev al helem tumo v'al helem mikdash. For our purposes, we have dashed underline the Iker point right now, namely that Rebbe holds that on Hel HaMikdash, forgetting that it's the Beis HaMikdash, one is also held responsible and would have to bring a korban for that. So you see that Rebbe himself holds that for Hel HaMikdash there is guilt as well. And that point happens to be the Shita of that we have seen before in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, and we see in this book that Rebbe himself adopts that Shita. Ashkechon b'yedias de'islei taima de'navshe. So we see from this source that with regard to Yedias HaTumah, namely Yedias HaMikdash, he has his own opinion. Namely his own opinion, this opinion not just citing Rabbi Shmuel, but that he holds that himself as well. Shvuas de'islei taima de'navshe min olon. What about with regard to Shvuas, and that Rebbe holds that there is a chiyuv korban on a past tense type shvua violation. In other words, someone swore that he ate and in fact he did not eat. That type of violation also carries with it a chiyuv korban. Where do we see that Rebbe holds thusly? Notice we have a long answer marking to accompany this. The encircled tuff to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text with the vertical dashed line indicates the long tshuva or teretz. Svora hu. The answer that is based on logic. And that the Gemara explains. We skip the parentheses. Rabbi Kiva, my taima ko mechayev l'shovar. Why is it that Rabbi Kiva holds that on past tense oath violations there is guilt? The dorish ribui umiuti, because his approach, Rabbi Kiva's approach to expounding verses in the Torah is the ribui umiut approach. Without getting into details, Rashi spends quite a bit of time getting into the detailed explanation of this point, but for our purposes let's just refer to it as a way of approaching psukim, that through the ribui umiut approach you come to include a violation of lisha avar as well. Well, Rebbe nami dorish ribui umiuti. Rebbe's approach to psukim is also a ribui umiut approach. And when turning to the psukim dealing with shvuas, we will thereby include a violation of a shvua l'sha'ovar. This sanya, this brisa, has nothing to do with shvuas, but is brought to prove that Rebbe darshan's ribui umiyut. The source deals with the redemption of a firstborn child has to be redeemed. There's a certain type of kedusha associated with a firstborn male child. Generally speaking, what's well known in Pidyon HaBen is the kedusha is transferred to five sloim, and those coins, five types of five coins, and they are given to a kohen. There are more possibilities, more options with regard to this redemption, and that's what this source says. Rabbi Omer Bakol Poidin Bechor Odom Chutz Min Hashtoros. With all different kinds of articles, one can render this redemption, with the exception of doing it via a shtar, a contract or a document. We must say a few words of structure before we go too much further in this particular piece of Gemara. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, Hochocha, the Rebbe, Dorish, Ribui, Umiuti, Mipidyon HaBen. We are showing that Rebbe's approach to Psukim is a Ribui, Umiut approach, and we see that from the case of Pidyon HaBen, as we already mentioned. Ubekach nochich shegam b'shvuas yesh l'chayev al l'shovar. And through that, we conclude that regarding oath violations, there is violation on one who lies concerning that which was of a past tense nature. As we go on in the Gemara, we are going to see brackets. We see a section of brackets here, and we're going to see a section of brackets a few lines later. What happens is that in addition to Shitas Rebbe with regard to Pidyon HaBen, and what you can use for Pidyon HaBen, there happens to be another Shita that disagrees, Shitas HaRabbonan. The Gemara here features the Rabbonan as well. However, since we are setting up the Mishnah, our Mishnah, like Rebbe, and we're using all of this information to give basis to the approach taken by Rav Yosef that said the Mishnah is Rebbe, our feeling is that it's important to emphasize Rebbe and de-emphasize the Shitas HaRabbanon as far as the sugya is concerned. Of course, we will learn everything on the page. However, the brackets serves to set the Shitas HaRabbanon off to the side as far as the general sugya is concerned. So that having been said, we so far read the Braisa featuring Shitas Rebbe that said that you can use all types of articles with the exception of documents for Pidyon HaBen. And after the brackets, the Gemara says, my time of the Rebbe, and immediately we've also dashed, underlined, in addition to the Rebbe, we see Dorish Ribui Umiyuti. And the reason for this dash underlining, because this is the heart of this entire section of Gemara, to show that Rebbe darshan's Ribui Umiyuti, and that is all for the purpose to include past tense Shavuos as carrying with it a guilt or necessity to bring a korban. That only through darshaning, through Ribui Umiyuti, would we come to such a conclusion. Let's now continue with in the Gemara, using reading the section in the brackets, realizing that this is of subsidiary importance to our sugya. V'rabbanan amri bakol poidin b'chor odom, with all kinds of objects one can redeem a firstborn human being, firstborn male. Chutz me avodim u'shtoros v'karkos. You can see from the Rabbanan that in addition to shtoros, as being prohibited for pidyon, they include avodim and karkos as well, slaves and land. The reasoning behind the Rabbanan will also be presented later on in the next bracketed section. My taimo de Rebbe, what is the reasoning behind Rebbe that he excludes only shtoros? In other words, his approach to psukim is a rather inclusive approach, and that's called ribui umiuti. So the Gemara says, Dorish Ribui Umiyuti, and we see how he does that now with the posuk that the Gemara breaks down. But before we go on in the Gemara, let's just read the entire posuk as we have included it on the inside margin by the double asterisk. The posuk in Bamidbor Perak Yudches posuk Tezayin says, Ufduyov mi ben chodesh tivdeh berkecha kesef chameshes shkolim b'shekel ha-chodesh esrim geira hu. Now the Gemara, Ufduyov mi ben chodesh. He is to be redeemed at a month's age. When the baby is a month old, he's redeemed. Reba. That would include all forms of redemption. Then the Pasuk has a limiting expression. Berkecha kesef chamishes shkolim. Mie. That limits. That would say you can't use just whatever you like. You must use these five coins. Then the Pasuk goes on to say, tifdeh. Technically speaking, the word tifdeh actually appears before the miut of be'erkecha kesef chameshes shkolim, but the way the Gemara is presenting it, and this will be the subject of a discussion later on, we are viewing the tifdeh as if it's coming afterwards, and hence chozar v'riba, the appearance of the word tifdeh, which means redeem him, which again is unqualified, would tend to include everything. So after you take a look at this setup, you say Ribo Umiyot V'Ribo Ribo Hakol. With such a structure, we say everything is included. My Ribo, what is included? Kol Mili, basically everything. Umay Miyot, so what's not included? With what type of article can one not redeem the firstborn male? Miyot Shtoros. Shtoros are excluded. But as far as everything else, all kinds of portables, kinds of metatolin, land, avodim, those are all options. Before we go further in the Gemara, we notice the bracketed section, which will feature the Shitas or Abonon, why they exclude the, in addition to Shtoros, Abonim and Karkos as well. After the brackets, the Gemara will call into question the whole assumption that Rebbe darshan's Ribui Umiyuti. The Gemara will raise a question, but isn't it so that Rebbe darshan's Kloli Uproti? Let's now turn to the bracketed section. V'rabbanan darshi Kloli Uproti. With regard to Pidyon HaBen, they have a different approach to Psukim, and that's called the Klal Uprat approach. This approach is less inclusive than the Ribui Umiyut approach that we just cited with regard to Rebbe. And the Gemara says, Ufduyov mi ben chodesh klal. Be'erku chakesef chamesh eskolim prat. As opposed to the word miut, we here are using the term prat. What the difference between the words miut and prat are, Rashi explains. But for our purposes, we're not going to get into the details in the context of our shiur, but we're just trying to see that the different methods of approaching the psukim result in different results. Continuing in the Gemara, tifdeh equals chozar v'kolal. Klal u'pratu klal, yatadon elo ke'ina prat. When you have a setup like this, we say that you must conclude that the items to be used are similar to that which was part of the prat, the specified section. Ma ha-prat mefurosh dovar metatu v'gufo mamon. What was the prat, by the way? It was the coins. So we say, just like the nature of the prat, the coins are something that is inherently valuable, that's gufo mamon, and it is a dovar metatu, it is portable. Af kol dovar metatu v'gufo mamon. So too, if you want to use some alternative form of redemption, it must have the same characteristics of the coins, namely, it's portable and has inherent value as opposed to representative value. What is excluded? We've underlined the items excluded. Yotsu karkos shena metatlin. We cannot use land. You can't. The father of this infant cannot present a piece of land to the kohen as a basis of redeeming his son. He can't use land shena metatlin because it's not like coins with respect to the fact that land is not portable. Yotsu avodim. We exclude slaves as well. Shehukshu lekarkos, because in the psukim in the Torah, we find that slaves are compared to karka. And just like karka is excluded, we will have to exclude avodim. Yotsu shtaros, and we'll exclude offering an IOU document to the kohen, or a document. Shtaros would actually include a situation where the father had loaned money to someone, and this money was going to be paid to the father, and the father would attempt to give this IOU that entitled him to collect money, and then give that shtar to the kohen. We're saying that will not work for pidyon haben. Yotsu shtaros afal pi shemetatalin, even though the shtar is portable, ain gufon mamon. The shtar, the document, is not has no intrinsic value other than its paper value. It's a representative value. In other words, the amount that's written into the document, if it be a loan, so it was money that the father of the infant loaned to someone. The shtar represents that amount, but it's not inherently that amount. And as a result of that, it doesn't. It is not comparable to coins. And through the klal pratu klal method of the Russia, will have to exclude shtaros as a means of redemption. At this point in the war, we start a long question. The long question goes to the top of Daf Hey Omed Aleph. So, as far as the context of our shiur is concerned, we will learn the question and make a brief reference to the answer, but we will only be able to dwell on the answer in the context of the following shiur. So, the question. Before we actually read the question, let's take a look at the topic heading on the side. Hatkafa, an attack. Al ha-ne'emar li'el, on that which we said before, derebi doiresh ribui eluti, we are going to attack that point, the harei ro'im, because we do see miparshas ritzias ozno the eved ivri, when a Jewish eved ivri. Eved Ivri is a reference to a Jewish slave, for lack of better expression, even though the topic of Eved Ivri is worthy of a discussion unto itself. Nevertheless, this Jewish worker, if he decides to stay beyond the Torah required 6 years, and he wants to stay until the Yovel, there's a procedure whereby his ear is pierced. That's called Ritzias Ozno of an Eved Ivri. So in that parsha, the Rebbe Doresh Kloli Uproti, his approach to the psukim of Ritzias Ha'ozen is a Klal Uprat approach. We have a note here in parentheses, HaGemora Behe Omen Aleph Yasik The Gemara on Daf Hei Amar Aleph, the next Daf, will conclude, Im Kein Rebbe Lo Yechayev B'Shuas L'Shavar. If the only way we were able to explain that Rebbe will include past tense oath violations, and in order to include that, we have to come on to the Ribui Umiyut Rasha, and if we knock that out, namely, if we show that he doesn't hold from Ribui Umiyut, so I won't be able to include past tense Shavuos as carrying with them a korban obligation. Memeila Mishnasenu Eino Aliva the Rebbe. The result of that would be that the Mishnah could not be set up like Rebbe. We wouldn't be able to say Shnayim Shein Arba with regard to the Shavuos. As we turn to the Gemara itself, toward the lower part of the page, the beginning of the long question. Amalei Ravino Le'amemar. Rebbe Dorish Ribi Umiyuti? Does Rebbe Darshan, like you suggested above, Ribi Umiyut? We seem to have said that with regard to Pidyon HaBen. Toho Rebbe Kloli Uproti Dorish. We see that he in fact takes the Klal Uprat approach to Psukim. This Sanya, and we have a source here. Before we look at the source itself, let's realize that we're quoting a Pasuk from Dvorim Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Zayin. We've included the Pasuk in the inside margin. The Pasuk says, V'lo kachta es ha-martzea, v'nosata bi-ozno, b'deles, v'hoya l'cho eved oylam. Martzea, the brisa begins, the martzea, this is a type of implement. Ein li ela martzea. This implement it seems to be that which is the Torah sanction for piercing the ear of the Eved Ivri that wants to stay on to the Yovel. Minayin l'rabos, from where do we know to include these other tools? Hasol, hasira, hamachat, hamikdach, v'hamichtav. Talmud lomar, v'lo kachto. The pasuk uses that word, v'lo kachto samartzea. Kol davar shenilkach b'yad. Divrei Rav Yosi Bar Yehuda. Any item that you can take in your hands and use as a piercing device. Rebbe Omer. Rebbe has a different approach. Martzea. Ma martzea miyuchod shamateches. Just like a martzea is a metal tool. Af kol shel mateches. So too, anything that is of a metal, metallic material, as opposed to some of the other implements that were mentioned, like the soil, Rashi points out, that's a piece of sharpened wood. The sirah is a thorn. And those things, according to Rebbe, would not be appropriate, because they're not mateches. And then we ask, what is the basis of the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi Bar Yehuda? And the answer to that is Rebbe Dorish Kloli Uproti. Notice how we've dashed, underlined this. This is the significant point of this particular section. Rebbe, it turns out, Darshan's Klal Uprat. Rebbe Yossi Bar Yehuda, who included more items, more objects, he comes to that because he is the one that Darshan's Dorish Ribi Umiuti. With that, we end our question. The question being, how can you say that Rebbe's approach to the Psukim Drushas is Rebbe Umiyut when we see over here he holds Klal Uprat? The Gemara answers, in Be'alma Kloli Uproti Dorish. In general, he darshans Klal Uprat, and that will include Shavuos. And by the way, if we say that includes Shavuos, so then we're not going to be able to include the issue of past tense Shavuos as carrying with it a chiyuv korban, according to Rebbe. The Hocha, but here with regard to Pidyon HaBen, which we saw Rebbe holds that you approach it through the Ribui HaMiyut Derech, Hainu Taimo. The reason is as follows. Kidetoner Debei Rabbi Shmuel, based on the teaching of the school of Rabbi Shmuel. And that teaching will tell us that where you find in the Psukim two klolim, two klal words, two generalization words, positioned next to each other, and the prat, the specification expression, or the mute, appearing later on, in such a case, then you don't darshan it as you ordinarily would the psukim through klal uprat. But such a case where the two klolim are next to each other, you have to darshan it as a ribui miut veribui. And this example of the two klolim next to each other is that which characterizes the topic of pinyan haben. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.